You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Firestone Destination AT2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Basketball, football, they have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You can get your winnings back in 2 hours. My favorite, the same game parlays. You can bet $5 or $10 and win $150 or more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get started now. Sign up promo code Colin so they know we and I sent you. The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hi, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday morning podcast. Chris Webber, C-Web, will join us. His thoughts on the NBA playoffs and the play-in game so far. So Baker Mayfield did an interview on a podcast. And he just sort of let it rip, let it fly. At one point, he said, on the field, I'm a dickhead. That's never changed. He admits he's got a Napoleon syndrome. He says he felt disrespected by the Browns. And he says he likes to go into somebody's office and boo them to see how they crumble. He admitted his critics also got to him. You know, Marshall McLuhan is a famous scholar of communications. He famously said, the medium is the message, meaning not so much what you say, but how you say it and where you choose to say it. Baker was lake house with a bunch of buddies, host is there, camo hat, drinking a beer, very casual. It's very let it rip. This is where I think Baker Mayfield's personality has never been right to be a quarterback. My wife's an artist. I'm more the compartmentalizer, the observer. We have different personalities. We make it work. But I will never be able to paint like her. And she won't be able to do certain things I can do. I think the greatest quarterbacks have talent, but their personalities match the position. Tom Brady, obviously, is a great example. So is Peyton Manning. Very calculated. Obsessed with preparation. From the podium to a podcast to preparation to the sidelines to pre-snap. You'll see very brief emotional outbursts. A fist pump by Brady. Peyton Manning will occasionally bark at his center, but they're very much under control. Baker's personality is much more comedian, surfer, artist. Highly emotional, let her rip. That, of course, is a big advantage in surfing or a comedian. You lean into your talent, don't overthink it, and just let it go. But the Russell Wilsons, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Bradys, they understand being a franchise quarterback, everything has to be planned. It's not a let her rip position. Jay Cutler, Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, sort of letter-rip personalities. Don't think before they speak. Often way too casual. It's one of my knocks on Drew Locke, the now Seahawk quarterback. I don't need to know Baker's got a Napoleon problem. Right now he's interviewing for a job with every other GM in the league. Do you think they want a quarterback with a short guy complex? Do you think they want a quarterback who says he was bothered by the criticism and had to get off social? A quarterback who said, I'd like to go into fans' cubicles and boo them? He's showing weakness. He's showing an inability to control his emotions, that he doesn't have control of them. They control him. Again, there's a reason certain people flourish in certain jobs. I talk to myself all day. I was meant to talk. It's what I do. I could never have been an artist. There are certain positions I just don't have the right emotional state for. I think Baker's talented, but he almost has a linebacker's personality, a wide receiver's personality. Highly emotional, very casual, says the first thing that comes into his mind. There are a lot of great jobs for that. Quarterback, in my opinion, it's not perfect. So there was a baseball situation yesterday that got people really worked up. Clayton Kershaw, perfect game. After 80 pitches, he was pulled. And this is something that's important. First of all, he's 6 months off surgery. He's an older pitcher. He's very valuable to their World Series chances. It was under 40 degrees. Under 40 degrees. And this is an older pitcher now. Managing that arm and his health becomes really important. We know this in all sports. I totally understood why the Dodgers did it. Folks, sports are not just there. Athletes are not just there for your personal enjoyment. Colin, there's only been 23 perfect games, and Clayton Kershaw only has one left arm. This franchise, the Dodgers, are favorites to win the World Series. Okay. The perfect game is like an award. It's cute. Kershaw's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. His legacy is set, got one World Series, would like to have more, over $100 million in the bank. Okay. To win an award, throw a no-hitter perfect game is wonderful. But Clayton Kershaw totally understood the situation. Sports is not just there for your enjoyment. Big picture. If Clayton Kershaw is 24 and plays for the Mariners or A's with no shot to win a world championship, the Royals or the Pirates, and he's a kid not coming off surgery, and it's game two, you go for it. But the bigger picture for the Dodgers is we're not risking an injury. I'll give you an example. Kevin Durant. Remember years ago he got hurt? He came back in for the Warriors in the playoffs. And there were going to be minute limitations. But he came back and he was on fire. And they stretched how many minutes he played. And he got hurt. Big picture, should have pulled him out earlier. You can't just go with an older, somewhat brittle athlete. You can't just go on current momentum. You have to go into games or series with pitch counts or minute limits. So yes, it drives you crazy. Kershaw agreed to it, understood it. They have bigger goals here than perfect games or no hitters. It's 38 degrees. He's just off surgery, and he's an older pitcher. In the NBA play-in tournament, there are no sure things, except one. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook. You'll get an instant bonus, win or lose. $20. That's right. Not only do you get to enjoy the NBA's best duking it out for the right to advance to the playoffs, but FanDuel's giving all customers a bonus for getting in on the action. Oh, and the more you bet, the bigger your bonus. FanDuel is an official partner of the NBA. Their app is safe, easy to use, and you'll get your winnings fast. New to the FanDuel Sportsbook? Well, sign up today, promo code Colin, to make every moment more. So don't just watch the NBA play-in tournament, be part of it. Bet at least $20 in a same-game parlay, get an instant bonus, win or lose. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana.
permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG. In Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP. In Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117. For confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369. In New York, Tennessee, redline 1-800-889-9789. Tennessee, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In West Virginia.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island opens its gates April 20th.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's my
game.
That's my game.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
All right, let's bring in Chris Webber, the Hall of Famer, Fab Five, five-time All-Star, number one pick, Rookie of the Year, one of my favorite people. I get him about once a year, and I love it. So I want to talk to you about Patrick Beverley, and I know it's a weird place to start, but you know Bill Laimbeer tackled people. Dennis Rodman was a pain in the ass. And, you know, as a Fab Five guy, as a Michigan guy, is that there is absolutely, in my opinion, room for Patrick Beverley. But what is the line, Chris, between being physical and screwing with guys' knees, hurting them,
Like, as a pro athlete, I don't know what the line is. What is it with Patrick Beverley? What does he do that bothers you, and what are you okay with?
Man, that's a great question. Thanks for having me on. I think everybody would want to play with him. And a quick Bill Laimbeer story, one of my favorite players ever growing up in Detroit. And I used to love it. He's one of the reasons why I love playing on the road and would do like this, the booze, the antics. He really taught us to embrace, you're going to get hated anyway. However, when I played against him, true story, my first time in the NBA going home, I knew the guy. I go up and get a rebound, tap it against the backboard to show how high I could jump and go down the court. You know, it's like an old trick. You catch and tap it. The next time I go up and I see him, he sticks his leg out and I twist my ankle. I think maybe 17 seconds or 2 minutes into the game, something like that. And I was out probably six games my rookie year. And so even though he's one of my favorite players, it's one of the dirtiest things that I've seen. So I did the game, I believe. I commentated the game when he and Westbrook bumped knees, like after a late timeout. I don't think that was dirty because I've seen players do that their whole careers.
Right.
However, I think the answer is not saying anything and maybe taking one technical with a quick elbow. It's really easy if you don't get caught up in the antics, especially in a 2-3 game series. It's really easy to shut them down because then they start looking like a little clownish. The only way they don't look like a clown is when they bring you into the argument and you have to try to figure out who's really, you know, acting, who's the bad actor in this.
Yeah, no, that's what he did with Morris. He got him worked up. He got into his head. Was there ever a guy in the league that was a talker with you and tried to reel you in?
Not a talker. Because you couldn't get me that way. So if you wanted to slide under, the Collins brothers, I hated playing them. Nahara, Mattson, any guy then that would flop smartly, use their brain, get in front of you. But I hated those guys because they got the benefit of the doubt. They're beating you up just as much, and they're getting the benefit of the doubt. And to me, those guys were, I'm going to say, just as effective. They don't have the winning record of a Rodman, but in games, they're just as, you know, as effective as a Beverly as well. So, yeah, those guys, I used to hate playing against those guys.
So I'm not going to ask you necessarily to pick a series, but I want to talk kind of fundamentally, holistically about the league. So I don't buy the Celtics, and I don't buy the Heat. And my reason is, and I do buy Brooklyn, because my theory is when the playoffs start, refs swallow the whistle. They get out of the way. And this is when stars can really manipulate marginal players and average players. And outside of Jason Tatum, Celtics don't have a closer. I don't think Miami does have a closer. I think Jimmy's just a great athlete. Same with Bam. And so Brooklyn's got so many things I don't like. Their size, their bench, the lack of chemistry. They're so KD Kyrie centric. Would you rather play a Boston who grinds your ass on the defensive end, who has they don't have the star power, but every time down the floor? Or would you rather play, you know, that kind of team, but they don't have stars, or a Brooklyn who's got two guys that are unstoppable, but all sorts of holes all over the team?
I remember playing against Dallas, who at the time had the fastest pace. It was Finley, Nash, and Dirk.
Oh, I remember those teams.
You don't want to play them. You just don't, because you just have no rest of thought. Because when those three on the court, you really have to be engaged every single play, because every play is a threat. I really thought Cleveland could have come back. I told someone, I called him early in the second half. I said, Cleveland's going to come back and win this game. But I didn't take into effect that Durant is one of the best shooters ever to play.
Right.
But, yeah, I could definitely, you know, I'm like you. I would take them, but I would rather, you know, play a team that doesn't have those options in the Boston and that as well. I agree.
Yeah. So you're basically – what you're saying Brooklyn does is they put such immense pressure on you, because if you're not alert, they will score at will.
I mean, the shots that KD was hitting, and to me in basketball, the hardest shot in the game that Jordan mastered, KD mastered, Curry's mastered every shot, Kobe mastered his two-dribble pull-up going baseline. Because you really don't know how to check a guy. If he pump fakes, can he continue to go? And the shots that KD was hitting, you know, it was terrible. It was great defense, and he pulls up and shoots that tough shot that really, if you're another team, if anybody else but those two, I'm taking my chances with that shot, making the guy take a shot off the dribble, fading right to. And so I just, it gets so deflating. It's almost like a dunk used to be worth more than 2 points because it would take the air out of your team. And
yes. Three,
it's the same way as a bomb. It's 7 points, but, you know, it hurts more than a 1 yard run. And so, you know, I totally agree with you on that theory. And I think a lot of people, you know, are over, they have too high expectations on Boston. I feel you that way. I think people don't take for granted. You need a couple closers in the playoffs. And, you know, one of those guys get cold, you can go to another. And that's why Brooklyn, to me, has, you know, definitely an advantage.
Tell me the difference between regular season and playoff basketball. Like last night, they don't count the play-in game as the playoffs. And I said on the air, I said, that's playoff basketball. You can call it whatever you want. But even the officiating, they were letting guys bump. I felt watching and I'm like, oh, that's playoff basketball. You can call it whatever. So you tell me, go back to your career. Like, where could you really tell? Could you notice rookies getting tighter, young guys getting tighter?
I think two things for me. How loud the fans were, like everything was just over exaggerated. Like, now's the time you become a star. Like, the guy off the bench that gets 1 minute and one steal, it's 100 people outside waiting for him if you get the win. So just that you feel, you know, WWF, you know, you can cut the intensity with a knife. You really feel that. I always used to really notice that. And then second, how tired you would get in the first quarter. Like, I can't explain. I don't know what that is. Is that nerves and jitter? Is that how you warming up? Is it everything? But it was almost like, you know, you have no more excuses and you've been waiting even emotionally to put everything into this moment. And so I think it really is the energy and how do you make sure you give your all at times, but still conserve at times when you don't need to waste it pumping up the crowd, you know? So, you know, the crowd and then kind of how your body reacted to the moment, you know, is kind of special for me.
So when you go over to the Western side, a team that I find really interesting, Golden State. So Jordan Poole is now emerging as a star. Klay Thompson's not quite what he was off injury. And when Klay plays a lot of minutes, I think it hinders Jordan Poole. And I think everybody knows that on the roster. But Klay's your guy. Okay, Klay's your dude. You travel with him. You've probably gone to weddings. You get into a weird situation where everybody in the damn room's like, "Should do. Jordan Poole needs to play 42 minutes. Tell me how difficult that is when one of your guys, you know, he's eroding, he's not ascending, and here comes the young buck. Can it screw with chemistry?
So I heard you today, and I hope that for fans' sake, you know, I love it when you go off on tangents or rabbit holes, and I hope that you really go down the rabbit hole of the draft pick does not mean as much in big cities anymore, and you're so right. You need to really go down that rabbit hole. I'm sure your researchers can get you a lot of – L.A. didn't get Shaq. You know, they didn't draft Shaq. Right. You know? So I totally, agree with you on that. However, I don't know if I can answer this question and not be sentimental, and I think that's the problem that Klay gives. They are a dynasty. They were a dynasty. You're right in every way, but I'm just adding emotion, which – you're going to have to take an effect for fans and other things, especially if you don't win one and you're betting on Poole, who is going to be great. But, you know, you would do that to Klay and he's not yet a full year in. This dynasty never got a chance to win once we saw a team get hurt or KD get hurt. You know, this unfinished business. He's, you know, of course, Draymond with the last, you know, vestiges of that. So, if you are right, I would not want to be part of that. I was in Detroit, again, Pistons fan, when we had a parade. And I think the next day, and Rick Moore said, "Oh, thank you for helping me lose all this weight. I love you." And like 3 days later, he was traded for, I believe, Mark McGwire. And I mean, as a Pistons fan, and we won, but I was just hurting, man. And I would not want to be the man that traded Klay Thompson. Because if it, what works? Like, does anything but a championship works? And if not, I think keeping him around, still trying to win a championship, may be the best, but I do think that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is all, it's a relationship business. I mean, the truth is, Steph Curry has made the owner $1 billion easily in value of franchise, in marketing, sales. You do sometimes have to go to your star and say, hey, man, this is a go either way decision. I
got to get more for him, though. I got to get more. And I think you said Anthony Davis earlier. I'm not taking him. I'm not taking him for Clay, for the community, because it is relationship. So
right.
If we're going to do that, Kyle, we got to go get maybe Bill and someone else and give up our picks, because I really believe you on that. But I just don't think, you know, we're going to have to go for a super, superstar, because that's who I believe he would. I still believe he has 2 years left of that.
So let's go to that. Let's pivot to the Lakers. That I think people tell you are who they are. I think it was Maya Angelou who said that. People tell you who they are. Believe them. So when AD came in out of shape off the bubble championship, I mean, LeBron is sitting there thinking, timeout. I'm obsessed with this sport. Dude, I just need you to be in shape as a pro athlete. I would have moved off him there. Buy low, sell high. Now, with the injuries, this is who he is. He's showing you who he is. He's not a workout fiend. He's not really a leader. He's hella talented, but he's hurt increasingly more. What was your feeling when you were in the game about athletes that get hurt? Is it bad form to move off them? Or did you always feel like, hey, man, some dudes, they can't give you 82. They can't. I mean, as a pro athlete, how do you view that?
Yeah, and I was plagued by injuries, or like ankle injuries, things like that. And so AD's last injury, you could tell like it wasn't his fault, you know, like Curry suffered injuries. But I think, you know, if you're going to get injured, I want to know what guy will work his, you know, tail off to come back the fastest. So then I have to take your work ethic into account. And so I do think some guys is unfair. And then I do think, as an athlete, you work out a lot so that you can feel confident that you won't have those breakdowns. And then you look at guys that don't work out and you say, see, that's why. And so it's not even the injuries. I just go back to the previous memory of anybody playing with LeBron. That's how I judge players, because I know it's a different day and you can win championships. And I think, you know, my generation should kind of admire the fact that you can go play with friends in free agency. But at the same time, you know, watching a guy like Dirk, even though he won a championship, but you knew he was a winner even before, if he would have never won one, because of how you knew he put Dallas on his back, and you could trust that. He just needed help. I never felt that way with AD, that he just needed help. I felt that he could be that missing piece for someone else, but that no one else could be that. And I don't know when he's proven that. That's why he's a wonderful talent, but, you know, I'm just looking, you know, and he hit some big shots with LeBron. I get that, but, you know, we're talking about him being an alpha, and I don't know when that's worked. So I'm not as high on him, injury or not. Being the number one guy if LeBron's not on the team. If LeBron's on the team, he could be number one and two, but if not, I'm not high enough.
The Clippers, I had a good source inside the Clippers that told me when AD was on the market, they didn't think he was a leader or B, tough. They thought he was gifted. And they didn't think he would play through injuries. They didn't think he worked out enough. Now, they've had their own troubles with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard staying healthy. But the idea was everybody loved AD. And the Clippers have a very shrewd, very deep roster, very shrewd front office. They didn't love him. And their takeaway was, he has to be led. He can't lead. I mean, listen, Chris, all years you played, how many guys were great leaders, truthfully?
Maybe,
to a roster?
Maybe. And sometimes the best player when I was younger, maybe he didn't want to be the leader because he was figuring out some other things and was like, I'll let you guys kind of figure it out. I don't want to, you know, or maybe they just led individually saying, hey, this is how you stay in shape. But, you know, I'm not going to the team signings and things like that. So when you find a guy like that, when you find someone that you admire, they have game, and that is very rare. And usually it's your star player and the guy that has been through everything and doesn't want you to waste your chance. And so, no, it's you really have to learn that as well, because every guy, no matter how confident they are, you know, we're the most confident in sports, but again, we're still fans of the game, and therefore there's that insecurity. You follow the sport a long time, whether it leaks out in interviews, whether it leaks out in the way you treat people, whether it leaks out in something after the game, you know, you can kind of see those areas. So to say great leaders, man, maybe 2 or 3 year team.
Okay, HBO Winning Time. Not sure if you've seen it. It's the Jeff Perlman book on the championship Lakers. Speaking of leadership, Magic Johnson, you had prickly, stoic Kareem. You had a crazy owner, Norm Nixon. And here came Magic. Big personality, butting heads, a lot of pushback. Obviously a great leader. As a Michigan kid,
yeah.
As a Pistons fan, how did you view... He went to Michigan State. He was on the other team, the Lakers. Did you hate Magic as a player?
I remember Michael Jackson coming out in 1984, and I remember screaming to my mom, like, please do Billie Jean. I remember that. I think it was Motown 25th. I remember where I was. I remember where I was when Magic got out of a limo and saw Bird, and I ran around the house screaming. I remember it, like, oh, what's going on? Like, I was the biggest Magic Johnson fan in the world. His father worked in a factory. He was from Lansing, Michigan. I got to meet him in 7th grade. His smile, he was tall and a point guard. He got to push the ball. He was in a video with New Edition. I think it was Secret. It was like a video. But this is my favorite. You know, he was cool. And he was like a man of the people. And so I loved him. I you know, and growing up, you know, I grew up loving Michigan and Michigan State. So I knew... you know, who he was. As a Pistons fan, it was like the only situation where you could like the Lakers in their fake Hollywood ways, because you knew they had sincerity from Michigan there. But when we beat them, I wanted to beat them more than anything. And I wanted Isaiah to get off. I wanted to beat them. But, you know, he has to be him, Bird, a couple other guys has to be my favorite players of all time. So he was our Dr. J. He was the world of basketball. And I mean, you know, I love L.A. I remember, like, you know, putting in the VCR, watching tapes in the VCR of just the opening scene of we beat L.A. from the screams in Boston and those type of things. So, yeah, Magic was, you know, he always pointed. I used to tape my fingers like him because – I don't know. I thought maybe that could make you dribble, but yeah, he's Magic, man. So yeah, I haven't seen the series yet. I'm trying to wait so I can binge watch it all, and I can't wait. But yeah, man, and you know, to have leadership like that as well, from getting in the seat to, and also, if I could say one more thing, the best leaders to me are the ones that, like, shut up when it's time to work. And from what I know about Magic, the practices were legendary, because as hard as Riley and others were on him, he was always ready and in shape. Some people just had a motor like that, like Jordan, to stay able to do all that. And part of that leadership is not just being able to be a rah-rah guy, but them trusting that you're going to get on the line with them after a rough night and run some sprints as well.
So the other day I had a former Meta World Peace. I think his name is Meta Sandifer Artest now. I hope I got that right. And I said to him, I said, man, we can't normalize all these stars missing games. Like, I'm a kid from a small town. I went to a Sonics game every 3 years. If downtown Freddie Brown and Gus Williams and Jack Smithman didn't play, it was bad, man. It was sad for me. And he said something very interesting, Chris. He said, listen, man, these guys now in the last 3 or 4 years are making $30, $40 million. They're young people. Like, it's a lot. And they are hanging out with Hollywood A-listers. They're making more than movie stars. And he said, I think over time they'll get adjusted to it. A lot thrown at them. They've never made more money. He's like, I mean, he goes, it was 6-7 years ago. A guy could make $9 million and that was money. Now it's 35. And the new CBA benefits the star players. They make more than ever. And it was an interesting takeaway. And I thought to myself, you know what? I remember my first big contract. I was like 32, not 22. You get ahead of yourself a little bit. You start thinking you're really, you know, a little bit greater than you are. Your takeaway on the missing of games by stars, do you think some of it is we're just transitioning? A lot of money, last 4 years, guys are, you know what I mean, feeling themselves a little, or are you genuinely long-term worried about it?
I'm a little worried about it because it's part of the culture. So it starts with the team. You know, it starts with the team going from when I played, we would be in practice after getting hurt in a game, a Wednesday that doesn't matter in Milwaukee. I'm talking about doesn't matter. But because the culture is to eat a steak and yell at a guy and feel good about yourself through that, not getting any better through practice, but running lines and things that have nothing to do with getting in shape. That mentality, remember the jokes he takes years off of guys' careers? It was a joke, but it wasn't a joke. Guys were not joking about it. And so kind of that over-exaggerated sense of man up and all that stuff, when really it should have been like, hey, guys, we just had a 6 game in 7 nights. Y'all need a day off. But it was always a big war. So one, that really messed it up. So two, teams trying to fix it. And then validating rest is what opened the floodgates, my friend. When you have a team saying, you know, hey, guys, just let me know how you're feeling, then, you know, my loyalty is to my feeling, not to getting through it. I don't want to walk the treadmill and get up every morning, but if I don't think about my feelings, I'll get through it, and overall it helps my body. So I think the team gave a way out. Third, you know, when you did that at 32 or I did that in my 20s, we were like going against the grain, kind of like you knew there were better stories of don't do this, don't do that. Well, now it's the culture of, you know, why not? You know, you should be doing this right. You know, and so I think anytime the culture seems to be going in the way of rest, or, you know, when I play with AI, this is so true. And all so many things are over-exaggerated. But he really played every game. And you could say ego, you could say pride, but he always thought it was somebody in the arena that never saw him. And maybe you have to be that good sometime to realize, like, I'm going to make this kid's life. Maybe it has to be that, because Sigma and those guys knew it because, shoot, the game didn't come on TV. It was late, right. Delayed, you know, maybe it was more special. You know what I mean? And so, sure. Yeah, I get a little worried about that, but I do believe, you know, in the optimism of meta. You know, I do think it can come back, but we used to be like, we make the money don't make us. Now, we might do something stupid with the money and, you know, lose our mind, but the principle was, you know, we play the game. Money doesn't make you good. My paycheck, matter of fact, you make more than me, I'm going to show you why. Like, so that worries me that the spirit of it has changed as opposed to what guys are really doing.
Yeah, no, I think there's been a lot of cultural changes. It's harder to hard coach a player. I mean, Chuck Daly had Hall of Famers. He coached them hard. Pat Riley, hard.
Yes.
It's that hard coaching thing, Chris. It doesn't really exist anymore.
No. Thank you for coming to work today and taking this check.
Hey, it's great seeing you, my man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. See you, Web.
The Volume.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island opens its gates April 20th.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah!
and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.